it is Luke. Yes, Luke chapter 24, all the way in the back. Luke chapter 24, by way of introduction, in verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time here this evening, and thank you for the services that have been gone through this morning already. And Lord, tonight as we seek to just hear a little bit more from your missionaries, Lord, just help us to continue to be missions-minded in this church, to be promoters of your gospel going around the world to all peoples, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for this chance here and opportunity to support these missionaries, some by prayer, some by financial means, but Lord, all through you, Lord, that we might see your work completed here that you have for us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, all right, missions letters tonight. I've relayed to a few brothers in church here that when I was out traveling, actually interviewing, got to go to a couple churches at the one point and spoke to a man there for a good long time after church was over on a Sunday night, for probably an hour and a half after Sunday was over. And we chatted about many things, but one of the things that was dear on his heart were missions. And however we decide to organize things here, just promote another way that missions are shared amongst churches, and our church tends to do them in clusters like this. Other churches do them on a Sunday night weekly basis. Their pastor there, Pastor Cox, gave Mr. John Hartman about 10 minutes or so to give a kind of a brief outline survey of different missions updates that have come in. And it was interesting that was done on a weekly basis as was possible. But the other thing that I remarked that he told me as well is that God had laid missions on his mind to the point where, you know, we think of our missionaries off in the faraway lands and they're always busy with all the tasks that God has laid before them. And often that's true, but often there are times when they are sitting and they are contemplating other things. They might be studying, just as you and I have downtime as well. They have downtime as well. And being far away from family and friends and home in a foreign field can get lonely at times. And he took it upon himself, this man, Mr. Hartman, took it upon himself to call them. You know, internet calls are very cheap. WhatsApp and whatever these other things are that you can video chat with anybody across the world just by the connecting over fiber optic internet. And just an amazing technology that we have in this day and age, when in times past we would have had to send letters by ship and wait months for a reply, right? Now we can just pick up our computer or our phone and put on a headset and call our missionaries. Maybe that's something the Lord would put on your hearts here as well, is to make contact with our missionaries more regularly. But tonight we have a bunch of letters from different missionaries that our church has had come through here from time to time. And one in particular is, you'll see, has been very faithful. And this letter, the first letter, comes from the Weimers in Iceland. I believe this church's first missionary. Supported here, the very first one, for as long as this church has been in existence. 26 years this year, is it? 26 this year, I think. Later this year. And Brother Weimer writes, "Dear supporting churches, friends and family, I was saved 31 years ago in Iceland while serving in the United States Air Force. 30 years ago, I surrendered to the gospel ministry, convinced and claiming the verse, 'Preach not where Christ was named,' desiring to be a pioneer missionary somewhere in the world. It was November 30 years ago when I left the United States Air Force to train for the ministry at Trinity Baptist College." This is their November letter, by the way. "It was 26 years ago that I was sure of God's calling in my life to be a missionary, specifically in Iceland, as I rested my heart and life on these two verses, these verses that we just read here, Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. 25 years ago, Vicky and I walked as we graduated college together. Vicky was 9 months pregnant with Clayton. In June following graduation and Clayton's birth in 1997, BMFP would accept us as prospective missionaries to start deputation. It was 25 years ago, November 23rd, 1997, when I was ordained to the gospel ministry in Iceland at First Baptist Church, which ministered to the United States military members serving in Iceland, where I was also saved under Dr. Johnny Wright's ministry. 25 years ago, in January of 1998, Vicky and I traveled together to our first meeting as full-time missionaries on deputation, now called Pre-Field Ministry. 23 years ago, Vicky and I arrived in Iceland and began learning the language of Iceland. When we arrived, there was no ministry for the Icelandic-speaking people in Iceland. Of all, you remember, he had taken over this church, which was at a military near or on a military installation, with an unfinished building, which is still being finished at this moment. They're very near completion, from what I understand. But taking over this ministry, which was there ministering to the U.S. military personnel, not to the Icelandic people that were there. But God laid Iceland on Brother Weimer's heart and extended that ministry to the Icelandic people. Our two sons were 23 months and 8 months old. Rosa would be born 2 years later in 2001. We have given the best years of our lives to lay a foundation for long-lasting work. I was 29 years old when I came to Iceland, and now I'm 52 years old. You sent a young man with infants to Iceland, and now I'm gray-haired and at times feeling my age. I desire to serve until death as a missionary. I do not know what the Lord has for me in the future. He is Lord, and I pray I always invite his leading in my life. You may not know it, but our daughter Sarah was stillborn in Iceland in 2007. Vicky and I have plots reserved next to her in Iceland where we expect to be buried. This passage very much ministers to my heart. Psalm 71:15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. There is still a lifeline of work needing to be done in Iceland. My commitment is to continue serving until I am unable or until God clearly shows me that he wants me to depart. I have no intention of forsaking the flock over which the Lord has given me oversight. Thank you for judging me and Vicky worthy of your sacrificial support. We pray God touches hearts to continue doing so as we press on for Jesus in reaching the world through Iceland. And they continue on, too, with a couple more updates here with some pictures, and take a little bit of time to read through this as well. But the whole world is coming to Iceland, and that's what he's stated for these last many years. There's many people will come into Iceland looking for work from all over the world. And what is the common trade language in this day and age is English, right? So they will come to this English service, hear the gospel preached, and some get saved. And let's read about some of that work here. The latest immigration flood is coming from Venezuela and Ukraine for obvious reasons in this day and age. We had more than 10 Venezuelans in our services last Sunday. Unfortunately, I do not speak Spanish, and they do not speak any English or Icelandic, producing quite a challenge for us even as we attempt to minister to them. There's a picture on here I'll put in the back that you can take a look at here, but it says a photo on the left was taken this month of the English-speaking group, and there is quite a crowd here. A young lady trusted Jesus for salvation on Sunday, November 20th. Early in November, we also had the joy of baptizing a young lady who was working in Iceland for 1 year. Sadly, she moved to Norway last week. Thankfully, we were able to connect her to a church-planting couple from the States. Amen. She attended their services last Sunday, and the missionary couple happily received her. What a joy it is to see how the Lord brings people to this little island in the North Atlantic and then sends them out into the world. Thank you for praying for us as we have additional ministry in non-Icelandic speaking peoples living, working, and vacationing in Iceland. He continues, we've had several moms go to Sunday school with their kids over the past weeks. And if you remember, too, this is a ministry that when they first arrived, the adults didn't have anything to do with church. They have no interest in it, but the children did. And they had a desire to come and draw closer to the Lord and learn of him. And there have been a few that have stuck around and have continued to minister there as well as they get into their later teen years. But here now we're seeing that this bring the children in first has also been bringing in parents, their parents to come in too. So over the last couple weeks, two moms who brought their children to preschool were children in our youth church over 15 years ago. So now we're starting to get into this generational work here. We're coming up here on 30 years of Brother Weimer and his wife ministering in Iceland in just the next few years here. What a blessing it is. The photo of some of the adults that attended a weekly Bible study is here on the left. The Icelandic-speaking nationals, we had one visitor come on Sunday the 20th for the first time. She was very interested in the work we are doing. I trust she will return. As adults are in Bible study, there are, on average, 50 kids in Sunday school. Thank you for praying for us and those in our ministry. And again, the kids don't come to church on their own. They're not driving their cars in there. Part of this is that they've prayed and the Lord has blessed and they've been able to receive a van to go out and pick up the kids and make multiple trips and bring them all into Sunday school. And now we have parents that are coming in as well. It is that time of the year again, the time when we practice for Christmas play and choir. I mentioned parents attending church who were kids in our ministry many years ago. To the right is a photo of one of those children of one of our bus kids from years ago. She is in the play with the innkeeper who tells Mary and Joseph that there is no room for them in the inn. Fun picture here. The photo of the left is, second page here of pictures, is the kids practicing the play that Vicky wrote, In Search of Baby Jesus. There are over 40 kids taking part in the play and choir. Wow. That's quite something to manage here. 40 kids in a play. Please pray for Vicky as she works with them. Thank you. The Christmas program is on December 18th, so it's already passed now. But thank you for praying as we expect many visitors. You will remember that I mentioned the desire to purchase an inflatable for our youth ministry. Oh, this is quite the picture. You got to see these things. I'll put them in the back. You really get this is, wow, that's pretty cool. All right. God answered that prayer. I am so thankful. And now what I mean by an inflatable is not just little balloons, but one of those big play structures that you blow up and you can go down slides and run through all kinds. And Nathan is jumping for joy back here. He's ready to go to Iceland. The inflatable and blowers will be shipped to the Sears family in North Carolina, where they are packing their container to move to Iceland as missionaries. This investment today will save us money each year as we no longer need to rent an inflatable. So they do a summer program in the summer, brings a lot of kids in, and they have games and activities and a gospel message, of course, going forth. And I know I know it was not a need, but I'm so thankful that the Lord saw fit to answer this request. Thank you for praying, and the shipment will arrive safely in Iceland in February or March. Throughout all the building we have done over the last 7 years, we built as the Lord provided funds with no debt. However, I have been a bit ashamed about the loan I led the church to take in 2012 in our first big step to press forward finishing the church building project. It was handed off to me in 2006 when the base closed. The project area for which we took out the loan, marked in yellow, he has a picture here in the diagram, in the photo on the left, it was a 15-year loan. Last year, I put before the Lord a plan to pay off the remainder of the loan in 1 year. The amount owed in December 2021 was $26,500. Last month, the amount was $10,000. Our members here in the church in Iceland have prayed and sacrificed to help us pay off the only debt the church has. There are neither many nor financially secure, but we have taken to heart this goal. God got us over the finish line this month. I was given a special offering that allowed us to purchase the inflatable and in addition put $2,700 toward the loan principal. This past week, God again touched the hearts of a dear family who loved the work in Iceland and sent us an offering to pay off the remainder of the loan. Praise the Lord. First Baptist Church of Iceland will be debt-free once the funds are deposited next week. God has answered so many prayers this month. Thank you for praying. God's doing a wonderful work there in Iceland, as we're seeing here, bringing children along, providing for them, and answering prayers all along the way. You know, a man of God faithfully seeking after the will of God, being blessed by God, and being a blessing, again, to the people of Iceland and the other visitors that come in from outside. Let's go ahead and pray for the Weimers. Heavenly Father, we gratefully and thankfully pray for the Weimer family tonight as our missionaries representing us in Iceland and have been doing so faithfully now for many, many years now, Lord. And we thank you that for them. We thank you for their faithfulness and their continued desire to serve you. And while buffeted with trials many times and often trials, Lord, that you again make a way and you find a way and provide where you're guiding, Lord. We thank you for those that have sacrificially given within their church, from without their church, is supporting, providing the needed funds now to finish off this building project, the loan that was taken out several years ago, Lord. And Lord, being able to continue to make steady progress on this building, Lord, as a tool, not as an idol or an icon, but as a tool to minister the gospel to the people of Iceland, Lord. We thank you for this dear family and pray that you would continue to guide them and provide for them. Keep them in health. Provide Brother Pat. I know he's been working on some Bible translation into Icelandic, the time of study that's needed there as well. And again, we thank you very much for this family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Iceland, and I'm going to skip that one because I got a new update, hot off the presses from the cooks, that will hold until toward the end. But next, our missionaries to, well, the Talkington family, missionaries to anybody? Germany, Deutschland. Anybody speak German? Nine. Not me. All right. Brother Ryan writes, "Dear prayer friends, at the end of our last prayer letter from Germany in August, I mentioned that myself and a few of my family members were suffering some physical ailments and asked that you pray for us. I thought it would be appropriate to share an update with you. Hilda had just recovered from a coronavirus infection. She tested negative and was getting better. After a month or so, she was doing fine. Recently, though, the cough from her bout with COVID-19 returned. Persistent coughing has led to some chest pain. The doctor prescribed her an inhaler yesterday, and she picked up the prescription today. We are hoping that the medicine in the inhaler works and that she will be relieved of both pain and the cough. Our granddaughter, Adley, was thought to have a neurological disorder which contributed to her slow development in walking and speech. Currently, she is running around her house like a tornado. Oh boy. Running around her house like a tornado, destroying everything in her path like two-year-old kids do. That's what they do, don't they? Her vocabulary is still lagging most kids of her age, but she has shown a marked improvement in her speech. The doctors thought she had a certain disease which negatively impacted both her muscle tone and her speech. One test that was administered indicated that she did not have this disorder, but another recent test showed that she did. Regardless of the cause of her slow development, we are praying that the Lord would lay his healing hand upon her and heal her as only he can. Our daughter-in-law, Kendall, has been taking a relatively new medicine for MS and has responded well to it. The way doctors confirm a diagnosis of MS is by doing an MRI or a CT scan of the brain. Telltale lesions on the brain confirm the diagnosis. Before she began her treatment, she had two lesions. A more recent scan indicated that the lesions had diminished in size, something that I understand is unheard of. We are thankful to the Lord for his mercy and grace. For several months, I suffered from severe pain on the bottom of my feet, which was diagnosed as heel spurs. After undergoing several treatments of shockwave therapy on my feet, my condition has improved dramatically to the point that I'm not experiencing any pain in my left foot, and the pain in my right foot has diminished significantly. We want to thank you for all of your prayers as we seek to honor and glorify the Lord for his intervention on our behalf. And if you remember, Brother Ryan, well, let me back up. Unlike in the United States, you're able to take a track and put it in somebody's mailbox in Germany and many countries around the world. You can't do that here. They're going to come after you for that. They want that post money. But in doing that, you have to walk to the person's mailbox. And he's relayed in times past of being convicted in toward his attitude and walking up to in certain neighborhoods and depositing tracks there. But again, he's mentioned he's walked, like a very large amount of miles, dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of miles, and passing out tracks in different neighborhoods. And you can imagine, if you're dealing with heel spurs, that's not going to be something quite pleasant to be doing, but still persevering and continuing on for the Lord. But we were thankful here now to hear that this treatment is giving him some relief in that regard. And continuing on, since a year after we arrived on the field, we have had a garden here. A garden provided fresh fruits and vegetables for us and our neighbors, an opportunity to meet and get to know other folks who had adjoining gardens, and a welcome opportunity to get some physical exercise. In addition, we had a large structure with tables and chairs where we hosted church barbecues and which we used to invite folks to dinner in order to share the gospel message with them. Earlier this year, due to a pain I was experiencing in my feet, we had to give gardening up. Working the garden was fun and exhausting. Sometimes we spent 2 or 3 hours a day turning over dirt, planting, watering, pulling or hoeing weeds, cutting back bushes, trimming trees, and harvesting. Most of these activities required constant standing and walking for extended times, which contributed to the severe pain I was experiencing. So basically, it came down to the choice of reaching 20 or 30 people per year at the garden or reaching 40 to 50,000 folks per year through tract distribution. So I can stand around, turn over some dirt, reach 20 or 30, kind of this friendship evangelism portion here, or he can go hoof it out and walk and hand out gospel tracts. Since our last prayer letter in August, we distributed 3,000 gospel calendars and over 7,200 gospel tracts. Praise the Lord. And he continues, I'm going to not be able to pronounce this name. It is a Vietnamese name. Thi Phuc Khoi Win was born in Saigon, South Vietnam, in 1958. This is a woman's name here. As a former French colony, the Vietnamese were bilingual, speaking both the French as well as Vietnamese languages. She lived through a time when American soldiers were stationed in Vietnam to fight against the Viet Cong and eventually the North Vietnamese Army. After the Paris Peace Accords were signed in 1973, the Americans withdrew all military forces, and in 1975, the Communists took over the country. After 8 torturous years under a communist regime, she and her family escaped to France. After living there for some time, she met and married a Vietnamese man who was residing in Germany. Once she arrived in Neckarsulm, Germany, which is where Brother Ryan and his wife are, she and her husband bought a house and settled down. She had 2 children and spent the next several years staying at home as a housewife, rarely leaving the house. In 2013, her husband found a younger woman and basically tossed his wife out on the street. That's terrible. They had always spoken Vietnamese and French at home, and so she was a stranger to the German language. In 2013, Miss Nguyen, who prefers to be called Khoi, was enrolled by the city of a German in a German course at the local, and I can't pronounce that, but I'm assuming People's School, something like this. If I can roughly translate what the German says. On our first day in the German class, we were assigned our seating, and Khoi was placed in a seat next to me, Brother Ryan. No coincidences. At the beginning of the class, we all had to introduce ourselves by giving our name and the country that we were from. After she found out that I was from the United States, she leaned over and said, "Communism is nicht gut." Communism, not good. The German class was about a year long, and Khoi had problems learning the German language. Everyone in the class whose native language did not contain the same Latin alphabet characters that we are learning, that we are used to, Cyrillic, Oriental, Arabic, these different characters, not following a Latin character set, had problems. These people would have problems in the class. After the course was completed, for evangelism purposes, I tried to keep in contact with as many classmates as possible. A classmate from Brazil and her husband and Khoi attended about 6 of our holiday services over the years. Although I presented the gospel clearly in German on each of those occasions, I was pretty sure that Khoi did not understand. We lost track of Khoi after a while until I ran into her a couple months ago working at a local supermarket. Again, no coincidences. During our conversations, I found out that her German skills had improved. I told her that if she ever needed anything, that I would try to help. A couple of weeks later, upon another visit to the store, she told me that she was having problems with her bicycle chain coming off. And with the brakes on her bike. Since her bicycle is her primary means of transportation to and from work and appointments, she required a quick remedy to her problems. Steve, a guy from our church, was willing to and able to help. While he repaired the bicycle problems, I was able to personally share the gospel with Khoi. Although she nodded a lot, I am not certain that she clearly understood the message in German. We were praying that either through a Vietnamese gospel tract or through some other means, such as a gospel through Google Translate, Hilda and I are able to share the life-giving gospel message in a manner that she will understand and accept. Please pray for us. We hope that you enjoy the great Thanksgiving and with family and friends, and wish you a blessed Christmas and prosperous New Year in the Lord. Your servants in Christ, the Talkington family. It's nice to hear from Brother Ryan and how the Lord is using him here. Dealing with some family physical struggles and some health struggles of his own, but here again, a woman who was placed in his path by the Lord, seated right next to him in this class, circles back and is able to make that connection again and be able to, once again, the Lord being merciful, giving her yet another chance to hear and believe the gospel. Well, okay, let's go ahead and take these to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Talkington family, Brother Ryan and his wife Hilda, and being faithful ministers there, having just a lot of trials and struggles as we hear being common on the mission field there, Lord, but being ever faithful and continuing in this work, Lord, that you've given to them, and this burden for the German people in the region that they're in, Lord. And we thank you for the health and deliverance that you've given to them through Brother Ryan and his treatments for his heel spurs, and helping him have that reduced pain that he might continue to be able to go out and distribute thousands of more tracts, Lord, that others would read and believe and trust in the Lord for Savior as their Savior. Lord, we thank you that his little granddaughter Adley, make sure I get that right. Adley is doing much better, running around, but Lord, still needing some intervention and some help there with her health and her development skills. Lord, we thank you too and praise you that his daughter-in-law Kendall is while diagnosed with MS, is seeing just miracles worked here and the lesions decreasing in size. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work there, and if it would be your will, and if it's possible, Lord, that you would remove that burden from her. Lord, we thank you too for this woman, Coy, that Brother Ryan has met during the German language class, maintaining those connections over these many years now, and having the opportunity once again to present this gospel message. Lord, we pray for her salvation, Lord, that she might know you as Savior, and Lord, just come into that full joy and blessing of knowing that eternal life is and her eternal destiny is secure in you, Lord. We thank you again for the faithfulness of this family that has labored there now for many years. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and we have a letter from the cooks, hot off the presses. Apparently my printer is getting a little weird. But January 2023 letter, as of this afternoon, from the cooks. And there were some pictures that at least came through the email. Pastor and Lisa are apparently with them. They're in the pictures there, and so there's evidence that they made it there safely and are enjoying themselves. I think there are smiles on the pictures, so I'm sure they're enjoying themselves. So January 2023, Brother Matt writes, what then, notwithstanding every way, whither in pretense or in truth Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and I will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verses 18 through 21. Brother Matt writes here, as we reflect on the past year, we are so humbled and grateful for all the Lord has done. We have seen him work in so many ways, allowing us to present our ministry in 68 different churches in 2022. We began the year with 28 supporters and now have 72 churches supporting them now, moving from 43% of our needed support to our current 90%. We are so thankful for the opportunities to meet people who have a heart for missions and who are ready and willing to support missionaries. While not every church we were in this year could take us on for full-time support, they were all supporting missions, and we praise the Lord for that. So that's, you know, a mark of a good church, a great church, one that is aligned with what the Bible says about churches, to be missions-minded, to be Bible-believing and preaching churches, are that they support missions in prayer, primarily first, and then as the Lord directs, financially as well. And they can count those many more churches as prayerful churches praying for them. December has been an interesting month. We had the busiest December that we have seen yet, and we were a little more scattered in our meetings than normal. We saw single-digit temperatures in Wisconsin and mid-70s in the Florida Panhandle. We also saw a wind chill of minus 28 at our missions house in Indiana. I don't want to hear that. We were able to spend Thanksgiving at the missions house with other missionaries. For Christmas, we were blessed to have Rebecca's parents fly out to Indiana to spend a week with us. How special these times have been as we look forward to being in Australia next year. Please continue to pray that our visas and our final 10% of support and our outfit and passage fund are filled out. We are confident in God to complete it all in his own timing and in his own way. We are so grateful for your consistent prayer, for our ministry. May the Lord bless you and for your part in winning souls for Christ. Faithfully in Christ, Matt, Rebecca, Emily, Michael, Chelsea, Elijah, and Noah. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you again for the Cook family being very special and dear to our hearts, Lord, having spent many years here laboring and working for you and now seeking to follow your will into the mission field into Australia. Lord, we thank you for them and for the churches and all those that have heard this mission work that you've laid upon their heart and have come alongside and partnered with them and provided the support, contributing to the support level, Lord. We just pray that you continue to guide there, continue to provide, and in your timing and in your will, be able to see them safely move to Australia to begin that work there of laboring and ministering for you in the outback to the people that are there, Lord. That little corner of the world needs to hear the gospel as much as any other little corner in the world. Lord, we thank you that you've called them. We thank you that our church here has a part in supporting this ministry. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to use this dear family and bless them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And one last one here. One last real quick one here. So some recent missionaries that have come through that we pray for. The Taylor family, right? Recently through here, a young couple that's come through. Missionaries too. Anybody remember? Chile. There we go. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right. So November 22, Brother Joe writes, right now, Hallie and I are in Santiago, Chile. Jason and Lori Holt have been hosting us and taking us through some of the finer points of arrival and ministry in Chile. They will be helping us to get established on the field, and it has been so good to get to know them over those last several days. In an unexpected way, it feels somewhat like home to us already. How amazing is God to them that as a young man, he was missions focused, and I remember him up here telling us how did he pick where he was going to go on the mission field, spun a globe, and put his finger down, and it landed on Chile. And now he's actually there, I believe, for the first time, if I recall. Second time, first time, something like that. But anyways, he says it feels somewhat like home to us already, and we are looking forward to ministering to these people. After all of these years and saying that I would be a missionary to Chile, it is surreal that we are here in the country right now. And we are so grateful for God's clear direction to the field and for his provision. Thank you for having a part in meeting our prayer needs and our financial needs. As we look at June 2023 to come to Chile, not too far off now, they are at 77% support here. And have been expecting to be at Christmas at home on the side here. But as we look at June 2023 to come to Chile, we are also working with an outfit and passage fund spreadsheet. This includes the big purchases that will be necessary right away. These are also things that are not included in our monthly budget. Please consider the chart to the right, and I'll put this in the back so we can take a look at it. And maybe you could help us purchase these items. If you're able to give to this fund, there are two options to give. Typically online giving through our missionaries. So he outlines a few things if you're aware to send support for this. But they're looking to get to the field pretty soon here, and they have some needs here that we should pray about and see if the Lord would lead us to match those. But, you know, it was wonderful to see them here and come in and the burden that they have for the people of Chile. And having lost a set of missionaries in Chile, the God had called back the clients, thanks. I can see pictures and faces. Called back the clients to minister in North Powder and take on that church up there in northeastern Oregon. Now another young couple, Lord is leading and providing a way to be there in Chile. Lord's work never ceases here. As long as we are aligned to his will, he's going to direct people where he wants them at the right time for the right purposes, and the right purposes of being that gospel message, right? Keeping our focus firmly planted on his word and his will, that he's desires that all men be saved. And I thank God for this young couple. All right, let's go ahead and take these to the Lord in prayer as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this family here, Brother Joe and Sister Hallie, and this burden you've laid on their hearts to be in Chile. Lord, providing a way right now to have a bit of time there to get acclimated, to understand, to connect with some local missionaries there, to help them get started in this ministry, Lord. You've laid upon their heart a desire to be there by June this year, and Lord, if it's your will, and you'll make that happen, Lord, and we're trusting in you. And there are some needs and some things that are needed there to be able to begin this mission work, and Lord, I just pray that you continue to work on people's hearts to give toward this fund, to be able to see them there and start up and be able to minister and see people saved and continue to preach and all the rest that our missionaries do there. But Lord, not for their glory, but Lord, for yours, like to see more souls saved, to give Jesus all the glory and to make him famous, Lord, is the goal that all of us should have. Lord, we pray specifically here. They have a couple prayer requests here. They have a young person called into missions, and another one to receive all their support by June so that they'll be able to head out there. Lord, I just pray for safe passage and provision in addition to this for them in their travels. And Lord, we thank you for them being able to come through here. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe that's it for tonight. And thanks for your attention.